It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward. Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free. 347-215-7771.
All right. It is the night of the trade deadline. We're coming to you live. This is the CLNS post-game show. I just want to start off the show talking about mortality. We all know that death comes for us eventually, each and every one of us. It's icy fingers reaching out through the blackness. You don't know at what point death might come for you. You don't know it could be right around the corner. It could be slightly tugging on your sleeve at all times. So you've got to live every day like it's your last and just be ready to have all of the joy torn from your life at a moment's notice. That has nothing to do with what just happened in the basketball game that was played tonight, where the Los Angeles Lakers beat the Boston Celtics 129-28. Again, welcome to the CLNS post-game show. My name is Sam Sheehan. I ache for the oblivion of death. And so basically checking in, we're going to be going live to my co-host, Jack Michael. He's here with me. We'll get to him in just a second. I'm just going to break down, some of the grisly details of this game. Game in which the Lakers shot 53% from the three-point line. In a big win for them. Tyson Chandler was plus 19 off the bench, really bothered some shots. And the Lakers got, their biggest win of the year despite going 7 for 18 from the free throw line. I don't want to talk about this anymore, so I'm going to bring in my co-host, Jack Michael. Jack, do you know anyone in the greater New York area who could get over here to kill me in the next 5 or 10 minutes, first and foremost?
I don't know. I'd have to go through my Rolodex and
right.
see who I can call up. I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay. Well, that's fine then. But we saw a game tonight. The Lakers,
it was definitely a game.
The Lakers hit a ton of threes. LeBron James seemed to care. This is not a game I would have chosen to lose. LeBron James, 28, 12, and 12, really trying to shake some of the it's okay, guys. We didn't get Anthony Davis. I wasn't seriously going to trade you. Come on now. And Kyrie Irving, not a good game for him. 6 for 21. Did free throw grift. Got to the line 10 times, which was helpful, but you just not the Celtics' best game, especially that third quarter. Anytime you give up 129 to the Lakers, who are just absolute garbage, it's not great. This is probably the worst performance I think we've seen from the Celtics in upwards of maybe like a month and a half. So I just want to know, what did you see out there tonight? Because we did on the silver lining was we did get a pretty good Terry Rozier game, and as you are the Terry Rozier whisperer, so I'd like maybe you could inject some positivity into this post game show.
I mean, yeah, it was definitely a good Terry Rozier game. I was I would say through the first half I was enjoying the game as a whole before it kind of as you noted went to crap a little bit, but it just came down to if you want to boil it down to one play, it came down to the offensive rebound at the end, because, obviously we saw Al Horford get the block on, I think it was LeBron at the end there. And then it was in Tatum's hands and it was in Morris's hands, and it just came out. And, the game as a whole, it was kind of just like you said, the Lakers are hitting threes. It was a fast paced game. People were getting out and running. And, even with the Lakers not hitting their free throws at all, they just hit a ton of threes, and I'll touch on Terry Rozier, obviously, because, like you said, he did have a good game and I enjoyed that thoroughly, but you know, and I think at this point I'd rather have taken the win because, you know, obviously Terry Rozier will never be leaving the Celtics. So, you know, we'll get a lot more Terry Rozier games in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think that that was kind of the you know, the theme for today, you know, was that, you know, coming into the game was that the Celtics did stand pat. The Lakers mostly stood pat besides a bizarre, bizarre trade they had for like Mike Muscala for Ivaka Zubac. But, you know, maybe that was what cleared the team. Ivaka Zubac must have been a locker room cancer because and was really holding back the Lakers 3-point shooting. You know, all jokes aside, I really laid it on thick there at the top of the show. But, at a certain point, you just got to kind of like look at the Lakers. Like, the Lakers just shot really well from three. Rondo was 3-for-4. Lance was 3-for-5. KCP 5-for-9. Kyle Kuzma 5-for-8. LeBron himself 5-for-10. My bigger problem with the Lakers hitting a ton of threes. I mean, that's obviously, I don't know. I didn't think the Celtics played awful defense at the beginning, but it's just that the Lakers were like clearly outclassed for most of the game and the Celtics just didn't play well enough to like put them away early. And I think that that's kind of probably the most upsetting thing about the game. You know, you can kind of blame it on the three pointers. And obviously the Lakers shot way above what they usually do. They're not a good 3-point shooting team. But the Celtics kind of, you know, they gave up, they just gave up a lot of easy looks. You know, there's not really a good reason for the Lakers to come into your home court and, you know, put 129 on you. You know, you really shouldn't have even, you know, been that close. 128 points should be enough points to win those games. And I think that the 42 points in the third quarter are kind of clearly the biggest, you know, indicator that things went awry, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers played, you know, Josh Hart played 7 minutes, and other than, like, for players who played more than 7 minutes, they played 8 guys. They only had, I think, 10 guys even dressed for the game, you know, and, mm-hmm. and you know, LeBron played 37 minutes, Brandon Ingram played 39 minutes, Rondo played 35 minutes. You know, in 2019, if you can't win a game that Rajon Rondo, or like you said, if 128 points isn't enough to win you a game in which Rajon Rondo plays 35 minutes in 2019. Like, that's – there's an indication that, you know, a lot of big things had to go wrong there. And obviously that 42-point quarter was, you know, that big – you know, the one big thing. It was just – you know, you could point it to Kyrie's tough shooting night, but he, like you said, he did get to the line 10 for 10, you know – I think he's done that a couple times now in the last couple weeks. You know, you could probably
24,
point to
Gordon
Hayward.
Yeah, 24, exactly. 8-7 for Kyrie. Big Jason Tatum game tonight. 22-10 and 5. He probably played the best of any Celtic, I think, on the floor tonight. You know, Marcus Smart 2-for-9 from 3. Kind of a bad time for Marcus Smart to go cold. You know, the Celtics did shoot pretty well from the floor. Again, the offense wasn't really the problem. You know, as much as Kyrie was wonky tonight, it's, you know, just giving up that many points to, quite frankly, like a bad Lakers team. Like, they're not now. And you know, the Lakers are what they're now 28-27. They're probably a better team than that now because LeBron basically is their team. What we saw like when LeBron went down. You know, this is probably like a playoff-ish team, but it's just so disappointing because this could have been such a psychic, such a psychically pleasing game for Celtics fans. And just, it is the absolute turd worst game of the year to lose just from a fan perspective, just based on everything that's been going on and how much, you know, we've kind of had to deal with the ridiculous Lakers fans and just, you know, the whole thing around the Terry Rozier game, it is just such a frustrating, disappointing game to lose. But, you know, I'm trying not to overreact, like, too much. But, you know, it is this is going to be something that's going to need to be talked about. You know, this is going to instigate some sort of – what's frustrating, it is going to instigate a news cycle. We will see Brian Windhorst on the TV, absolutely rotund with glee at the result of this game. And, you know, this also comes on the heels of a trade deadline where, you know, a lot of the Celtics' primary rivals in the East made big moves. You had the Bucks go out and get Nikola Mirotic. The Raptors, whatever you think of this, went out and got Mark Gasol. I'm not a huge Jonas Valanciunas fan, so I think that, that was probably a little bit of an upgrade. And then you also had, you know, Philadelphia made their big move where they went out and got, you know, Tobias Harris and, you know, really sort of are kind of in a position to sort of put fear in people with regards to, you know, what they have going on. So, you know, that's, I think that's mostly what it's going to be, is it's just going to have to, you know, I guess what's so frustrating about this loss, and it's kind of hard for me to put it in perspective coming right off the game, is because you can almost just see another particularly obnoxious news cycle coming through all of this. And, you know, I'm not sure what that's going to do to the Celtics, as they're sort of on already, you know, sort of on tenuous ground media wise. And it's just sort of, you know, circus things kind of tend to get more circus antics. So I guess that's really what my big takeaway from this game is. It's really disappointing to lose a game that has so much at stake in terms of a distraction factor. I hope the players can get past it more than those of us who have to make the podcast rounds and, you know, talk about it day in and day out have to. But, you know, I can just sort of see this turning into a, you know, kind of gross news cycle that we're going to have to deal with for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, especially with, you know, the scrutiny that Kyrie Irving has been getting, you know, specifically with returning to LeBron and how every kind of move he makes is just constantly overanalyzed and relitigated and relitigated again and talked about. And, you know, even with Kevin Durant's comments last night, Kyrie Irving's comments last week in New York, like you mentioned, you know, the circus that's just been happening, it's just going to be, you know, we're just going to be having a couple normal ones online. We're going to be, you know, just being very, very calm and very not mad about things. But it's just such a tough, you know, you could tell the crowd was going to be into it. You could tell it was going to be a high energy game from the start, you know, with all the stuff that we've spoken about, and to kind of just come out there and, you know, obviously, like you said, they did score the points, but to kind of just, it just stuck. Like it really did. It really did just stuck.
Yeah. It was not an ideal game for the Celtics. Boy, I don't, I'm extremely mad online. But you know, a real pro will sort of tough it out, go through this. You are listening to the CLNS Boston post game show. We're gonna get to the call line in just a second. The call line, folks, that is sponsored by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents the cultural epicenter of an area at its core. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company is more than Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End every year. So I'm going to kind of work our way, you know, one by one down the call line, sort of let everyone in to, you know, vent grievances, you know, sort of jump in, because I really don't have much nice to say about this game. Maybe we'll get into the trade deadline a little later, but I'm going to go to our callers one by one. First up, I'm going to go to 413 area code. 413, what's going on? Nope. All right. I guess we 413. Might just be listening. All right, so well, I'm gonna keep it moving. Then. We're gonna head right down to 617. We got 617 on the air with us. How you doing tonight?
Hey, yo, what up? All right, so I know y'all don't have a lot nice to say, so I'll come in with the optimism. First off,
there we go.
I'm gonna say it's Wolf.
Please.
I'm gonna come in with some silver lining.
Thank you, King.
First off, we lost by 1 point. I kind of want, like, it's not like we got blown out. Like, we lost by literally 1 point. And the Lakers are, like, either the worst or the second worst three-point shooting team in the NBA. And they hit, like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know it was, like, above 50% of their threes tonight. And, like, all their starters, LeBron, hit above 50%. So, like, it happens. That stuff happens. Most of the reasons this game sucks is for reasons outside of the game. It's we're anticipating the Win Horse and the Nick Wrights of the world and the at LeBron Brody goats just getting really annoying about it in people's mentions. And, like, we already have hundreds of visions of how that's going to turn out. But if you just ignore all that, like, this game was fine. Like, if you think about all the people on the team who have been struggling, like, Terry Rozier had a pretty good game. Like, Jaylen Brown had a pretty – I mean, he only had, like, 18 points in, like, 20-something minutes, but, like, he was doing good when he was out there. I thought we did. Like, I thought that him and, surprisingly, Gordon Hayward had okay defense on LeBron whenever they switched on to him. And that's another thing. Like, we also – everyone treats the Lakers like they're a bottom-of-the-barrel, like, lottery team, and they kind of have this guy named LeBron James who scored 28 points, 12 rebounds, and 12 assists. He's kind of good, and there's not a lot of shame in losing to him. If anything, this game reminds me a lot of the Eastern Conference Finals last year, where some games just J.R. Smith will just hit five threes, and I don't know, there's nothing you can really do about that. Like, LeBron's going to find open people. Like, there's only so much the Celtics defense can do there. And, I mean, I'm kind of reaching at this point, but I don't know. I'm not, like, super concerned. I'm just pissed about the reaction, what the reaction's going to be, or what we assume the reaction's going to be in the context of, like, how the trade deadline was. Which I also think people are overreacting about. Because, like, what is Marc Gasol going to do for the Toronto Raptors? Like, he's just going to get run off the floor in the playoffs. Like, who cares? Like, Jonas Valanciunas barely did anything for them in the playoffs. Like, Marc Gasol is just another version of him. So, not to get too off track, but I know
this game. I think that's a good segue.
And Kyrie played really bad. Well, not really bad, but he played decently bad for Kyrie. And most games where Kyrie plays bad, usually we, like, rally together and win. And we almost did here, but we didn't. And Kyrie's not going to suck and spew poo-poo all over the floor every night. So I'm not that concerned.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of the – that's sort of the overlying thing kind of hanging over this. I think why everyone's so anxious is that you know, you have the Kyrie Irving, you know, there's just this god-awful news cycle that's just sort of been haunting, like, everyone, where, you know, Kyrie is basically in full mind Sherpa mode and has no, like, is just annoyed that he's being asked questions, you know, pretty similarly to Kevin Durant. And everything's been kind of taken out of context, but it's just taken on such a life of its own that even someone like me, who is pretty confident that Kyrie will be back next year, like, it's just so all-encompassing and everywhere that even, like, doubt has sort of crept into, you know, my bones, almost secondarily, like, iron poisoning, like the lead paint of the media has sort of given me colloidal silver blue skins at this point.
We caught the brain worms.
Yeah, I have the brain worms. The brain worms are deep in my brain now. And I think that, you know, that just does put such an onus on kind of the playoffs coming up, because, you know, it's increasingly looking like two really good teams in the East are going to lose in the second round. And, you know, you really don't want to be those teams with what they kind of have at stake. You know, the Celtics have ways to improve and get better. They have so much more ammo than every other team in the East. But just, you know, with this supposed threat of Kyrie leaving, you know, it would just – the noise would get deafening if the Celtics, like, you know, lost in six or something to what Toronto or whatever the case may be. Not that that would necessarily, like, you know, the Celtics have so many different ways to improve, but then, you know, if Kyrie leaves, you know, obviously things do get much harder. So,
yeah, but like,
I think
what is this team if Kyrie leaves? It's like, it's Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Like, that's not the end of the world. And like,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
Kyrie Irving is extremely good. He's the type of guy you want those guys to become. You want to keep them. But like, these are the type of games that make me just take a step back and be like, man, what do I like watching sports for anyway? And then I realize all the things that are giving me negative emotions as I said, just like assumptions of what the media is going to say. Foreseeing all the dumb arguments I'm going to have online about it, foreseeing all the bad posts I'm going to read and want to scratch my eyeballs out. But, like, the game I saw on TV didn't really warrant that without all that context. Like, without the trade deadline stuff, without all the Kyrie stuff. Like, it was just a stupid game that we lost. And it happens.
Yeah.
Like,
we've
had much worse losses this year. Like, I think that Knicks loss early on in the 10-10 run, if this game happened early in the season, we would have got lost by like 15. Like this, we would have given up in the third quarter. They would have ran away with it in the fourth, and it would have been over. So the fact that it was even a last second shot is improvement. And I mean, that's kind of sad as a benchmark for a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. But I mean, like, if you just put it on tunnel vision, you put the blinders up, and you see where this team has come from and where they're going. I mean, we are at least a much better team than we were in the past. And if you look forward to the playoffs, I mean, I'm not really that worried.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this loss really didn't change my long-term outlook on this team. Like you said, Wolf, it's just like the whole amalgamation of just everything that's happened in the past, you know, not even just 24 hours, like everything that's happened over the past couple weeks. It's just like, oh my God, like I just want to like shut my brain off and get the, you know, get the brain
exactly.
worms out. But
like if I deleted Twitter, would this game be as bad? Probably not.
Yeah,
like,
probably not.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, sorry. Sam.
Sorry. Good now. Go ahead.
No,
yeah,
you go. I was saying you go.
okay. I guess that's just mostly, you know, my thing is it's personally very frustrating to suddenly be free of the trade deadline talk, like Andy Dufresne emerging from the mud. And then immediately.
And then now we
got
to go back to the what's wrong with the.
Yeah. Right. And just immediately
like
get
no
the
respite.
Boxing glove. Yeah, to immediately get the boxing glove in the nuts, like the second you emerge from the mud, is just it's just so frustrating to sort of. And I realized this going into the game tonight that like everything was like I felt too happy. You know, it would be a perfect just LeBron dropping Trow and taking a giant turd and putting it in the punch bowl. He
honestly,
say this about LeBron
going in, which is why I don't feel that bad afterwards. I kind of prepared myself. Like, the second the game was starting, I think I tweeted it too. I was like, man, the Lakers are really about to blow us out right now, right? Like, this is how the league works. Like, we're not just going to run right over them. Like, that'd be too easy. So I was at least a little mentally prepared for it. But, the fact that everyone else wasn't was indicative of the situation around the game and why we really should have won. But I don't know. And I'm like, what really set me off with I'm not really that mad about this game was when Chris Webber was going off about like when the Lakers came up in 2 minutes. So like, if you're the Celtics and you're a team that's been in the Eastern Conference Finals recently, this should be embarrassing. And I'm like, really, man? I'm like, it's not even the All-Star break. It's the third quarter of a regular season game, not even before the All-Star, like not even after the All-Star break. Like, come on, like is this really what we're gonna be running with? And it is. It is what the media is gonna be running with.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is where I sat there and I was like, wow. I was like, it's not worth it. Like, maybe I will just delete Twitter for the week because
it's gonna be a rough one. I think kind of going forward from here on out. To look ahead. I think we're all in agreement. You know, to sort of I don't want to talk about this Lakers game anymore. Maybe we'll still go back to it when we feel a little better. But I do think that in agreement. I think we're all in agreement that the Celtics, you know, made the right. This could be kind of devil as a trade deadline show. And Celtics you know, didn't do anything short of really clearing a roster spot by trading Jabari Bird today. And I think we all agree that that's that was probably the right move for the Celtics, right? To sort of stand pat. There wasn't really much to be done about upgrading and getting like a rotation guy when the Celtics problem is that they have too many rotation guys.
No, yeah, exactly. Like, the problem is that we can't fit the talent we do have. Like, getting more talent or dumping the talent we have would make it worse. So I don't the fact that we didn't do anything and that the Pelicans didn't trade Anthony Davis, that's all I care about. Like, Mirotic can do whatever. Like, Marc Gasol can do whatever. Yeah. Tobias Harris I'm a little worried about. But, like, everything else, like, I don't know.
Yeah, and, like, the one thing that I do want to, like, touch on, too, is, like, a lot of people said, you know, oh, like getting Gordon back to 90% or getting Gordon back to 80%, like, it would be better than any trade. And, like, that's kind of a silly thing to say, I think, like, because at this point, you know, like, I'm on the optimistic side of Hayward still, and I'm still kind of thinking, like maybe kind of pump the brakes on him getting back to 80% or whatever percentage, you know, whatever scale people make up for the playoffs. Because, you know, it's as good as he's looked in some of these games, you know, against Toronto, but then also against, like, Cleveland and New York, like, the majority of his good games have come against these bad teams. And that's kind of what's worrying me the most, I guess.
Well, guess who we're going to be playing in the first round of the playoffs? Probably a bad team. So that that
poor Philly, which is a bad team.
Yeah, I did. I said
earlier. Yeah, I mean, I will say that there is a sort of psychic. I do sort of the Raptors are sort of an unknown because we've never really seen them in the playoffs. You know, I have a lot of respect for the Bucks just because they like played us very tough and like Giannis is like. A freak, and we've seen, you know, Bud's teams do very well in the playoffs. Even with all the additions the Sixers have made, and maybe I'll eat my words, I still just feel like there is a psychic advantage to the Celtics. We could, like, go in with, like, no Horford and, like, no Kyrie, and I'd just be like, yeah, all right, we got this. Like Tyson's going to beast them. Like something would happen, you know, like Brad Wanamaker would like have a Terry Rozier-esque like coming out party or something like that against the Sixers. Like, I really do think that like they would detonate the Celtics would detonate. No matter how high the Sixers' highs get and no matter how low the Celtics' lows get, I really do always feel like the Celtics have the Sixers' number, like no matter what.
Yeah, and just last comment about the game, because I got to go get my laundry out. If you want to put some blame on why we lost this game, with like halfway – yeah, see, that's a timer for my laundry. Halfway through the second quarter, like they showed when they came back from commercial break, I remember right there on TV, right next to the sideline reporter, Dave Portnoy. And then ever since that happened, I didn't keep track, but the Lakers just did not miss from three. I don't think it's coincidence, and I don't really feel bad about blaming him for more bad things in the world.
I agree. Yeah. Well, I think it's your laundry. Thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate.
No problem.
Thanks for injecting the positivity and talking me off the ledge. This is the savior. This is saving us. Folks, you know, feel free to go ahead and call in. You know, we are going to be, Jack and I are going to continue breaking this thing down for another, you know, 26 minutes or so. You know, talking about this game, tuning in, saying hi, talking with us would really help, you know, because this is a tough one. It's a tough loss for me. Secondly, and I need the help of everyone in the CLNS, you know, media universe. Because where I'm at with my head is bad. My head is in a bad place. You know what's a good way to get your head out of a bad place though? It's going to Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. You know, Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. If you missed it at the top of the show, it's one of the places that has become home to many of the A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company is more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat and a place that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Again, Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, and that is located at 113 Salem Street. Once again, your god-awful final score. The Los Angeles Lakers, 129. The Boston Celtics, 128. I'm your host, Sam Sheehan. Alongside me, my co-host, Jack Michael from Sixers Harassment. And we are going to be here for the next 24 minutes breaking this thing down. So feel free to call in. Once again, that number, toll-free, 347-215-7771. All right, Jack. So, we went through this game. The Celtics still have Terry Rozier on the roster. What do you think is a, kind of going forward, how worried are you about kind of the Celtics on a scale of, 1 to 10 sort of entering this, Celtics sort of entering the back third of the season and what's probably going to ultimately determine their, seed in the playoffs?
I guess like a six. I mean, if you asked me a couple of weeks ago, I would have said like a four or like a two. But, now is starting to be the time where seeding is going to matter or where, the teams are going to really start thinking about seeding. And I think it was either, I don't know if it was you or if it was Ryan Bernardoni who tweeted about the Celtics wasted all their, quote unquote losses earlier in the season. Like they wasted their bad losses. Like tonight was a game they would have had to win, coming up in the schedule, there are four more games I think the Celtics have against Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia. And that's a mix of home and road. And, those are games that, I hesitate to call any games must win, but those games are about as close to must win as you can get. So as far as, seeding and playoffs goes, yeah, I'm starting to get a little concerned, and this is coming from me, who has been, on the record as kind of on the optimistic side still the entire season. If we want to speculate about playoff seeding, if everything shakes out to how it is right now, with Milwaukee, who, has a firm enough lead at the top of the conference that I think, it would take either a really good run by the Raptors or a really bad run by the Bucks for that lead to get closed even more. It's only 1.5 games, so maybe I was wrong on that.
Yeah. Well, point differential is almost double. So it's like, the Raptors are hanging in there by like winning close games, but the Milwaukee's been like a pretty, the dominant team all year.
Yeah.
So I think you're right on that, but it would take something for the Bucks seem like the team that should probably end up in the one seed.
Yeah. And then, Milwaukee, and we'll assume Toronto is behind them because at this point in the season, I'm not sure if the Celtics can make up the 4.5 game difference that, that they have with Toronto. I'm also assuming that the Pacers drop out of the three seed because as tough as they've played without Victor Oladipo, I just don't think they can keep up the same winning pace that they have. So we're assuming, Boston and Philadelphia are in the 3-4. And honestly, like we mentioned with Wolf before, if we play Philadelphia in the first round, I'm totally fine with that. Give them Tobias Harris, give them 1993 Michael Jordan, give them Hakeem Olajuwon. It doesn't matter. I'm 100% confident against Philadelphia, and like you said, we might eat our words, but I think we've broken the Philly men.
No, I hereby invite any and all ringers, all 730 of the ringers, sister writers, to I challenge them to posting combat, and we will emerge victorious as this season goes along. We do have another caller calling in, so I want to hop over to them and give them a chance to talk. We're going to go with area code 508. 508, you're on with us. How's it going?
Yo, what's up? It's Brian.
Hell yeah. Let's go, Brian.
Oh, man. Yo, I got to tell you guys, this the post game made me feel better because I was red, mad, and nude online.
I think we all are.
And I need a nice, safe Celtics safe space afterwards. So this was good because online is not going to be good until, you know, we hopefully beat the Clippers on Saturday. So I just want to come on to say, I feel like the Celtics, going forward, I'm just a bit impatient because I feel like this team really is going to shine in the playoffs. And we just kind of, like, have to get there. You know what I mean? So we just got to keep going, win some games.
I will say this, Brian, because you bring up something that I did sort of want to note as a positive. And I did forget, you know, how useful Jason Tatum, like, is and how, like, really, I don't want to say dominant is probably a little strong, but just how impactful he is in these big games like that. Like, you really noticed Jason Tatum tonight, and I think I noticed him bothering LeBron, like, a couple of times. Like, he really, really did get under LeBron's, like, altered a couple of, like, passes and shots and really seemed to make LeBron uncomfortable with his length. And I think that, you know, on top of, like, his isolation scoring, you know, with Kyrie really does make the Celtics more of a lethal playoff team, I think, than, you know, some of these other squads. And I think that especially if the Celtics can get something closer to what this Terry Rozier that showed up tonight, you know, Jaylen Brown was pretty good in transition. You know, it's just the Celtics kind of universally crapped the bed as a team in the third quarter. I agree with you. I really do think that there is a chance they could sort of flip the switch. You know, I were talking with the Riffs man, before, and he made the point that, you know, basically we've become the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it's true. Like, we really are just embroiled in turmoil, like losing games for no reason. Extremely, like, just dysfunctional. But I really do think that we will kind of have the same ability to sort of flip the switch because we do have that sort of built for the postseason type of mindset with, you know, the guys we have on the roster.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely disagree in terms of that. It is funny how we just kind of transformed into Cavs Dan North in Boston. So that's super fun. Will Wick use Comic Sans? We don't know.
We have no. There's no way to parse any of that out. I just want to know who's going to throw the soup. Somebody's got to step up and throw the soup.
I'm more curious who's going to take out predatory loans. Like, if we're really going to go full, you know, Cavs Den, I mean, the soup is an important part, but I mean, and the soup thing, it's going to be Marcus Smart. Like, it has to be, right?
Yeah, I guess, what am I even talking about? I need Marcus, like, what, one of, like, I don't know, somebody's going to, like, say something, like, keep their head down when, like, Brad's talking in a huddle and Smart's going to go, like, get, like, the literal prop from Seinfeld, soup not to use, or boiling hot water all over, like, I don't know, whoever, like, wasn't Daniel Tice, like, wasn't paying attention for some reason on the huddle or something like that. I really do think that the Celtics are, you know, it's so hard to say, but I really do, ever since the Riffs man said that, I have sort of internalized that a little bit and sort of realized that it's true that, you know, the Celtics, well, you know, as much as I hate to say it, I almost don't want to put this bad energy out there, but, you know, with Kyrie sort of in the LeBron role where it's not really clear if he's going to leave, he's, you know, kind of calling out teammates. I want to be very clear on this comparison. Kyrie is insanely more cool than LeBron. This is not a contest. There's no shishas or anything like that. But there is a very similar, you know, when it comes to just the facts on paper, you know, when you line them all up, there are a lot of sort of staggering similarities, you know, the difference being that Celtics are actually talented outside of Kyrie Irving.
I think the collection of kind of locker room personalities as well is another place where it gets different. I think, you know, kind of having that sort of, the Cavs just seem so, like, mismatched in how their, you know, their locker room was put together. And I think, like, they – and how they were constructed kind of on the run, just picking up Kyle Korver, picking up J.R. Smith, picking up whoever here and there, like, that kind of led to a more I don't want to say dysfunctional. I can't – disjointed is the word. It, like a more disjointed environment as opposed to the Celtics where, you know, like most of these players weren't on the team when we went to the Eastern Conference Finals with Isaiah. But it, you still kind of feel that growth. Like it still feels like they've kind of grown with each other and they've kind of bonded as a team a lot more than that Cavs team has had a chance to do, which is kind of my hope. Like that's one of my, you know, quote-unquote reasons that I have for Kyrie staying. So that's, you know, that's just something that I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Before I go, I just got to say, the Jays were great tonight. Don't trade them for Anthony Davis. they rule. Terry completely owned me after weeks of slander. Just played a good game once again. I am a little buster.
Yeah, I got to say, Brian, you kind of asked for that one. You should have known better than to going up against Jack's ability to post things into reality was just not very – as Sixers Twitter has learned, shout out to Max Rappaport, you cannot tangle with Jack and emerge unscathed without some sort of cosmic, you know, reality coming back to attack you. So – I do have to
crazy
say,
the
a little, yeah, the buster, Terry was going to, you know, tell all the little busters to shut up today. And I think he successfully did that.
Yeah, he's all about the cook life, and I'm burnt to a crisp. So, thanks, guys. I'm gonna hang up, but great post game.
Oh,
and hell yeah, dude.
All right. See you,
thanks
Brian.
Thanks for calling him, Brian. I appreciate it. All right, we got so we're still folks, we're still on here. We got 13 minutes left. You know, feel free to call in. Once again, me, Sam Sheehan, hosting. We're doing post game for Celtics versus Lakers. I am getting back to spring in my step. I'm becoming less mad than I was when we started the show. So I'm working through that. You know, feel free to call in. I can still get a little bit happier. Talking to the guests always improves my mood. So let's just go for the low-hanging fruit here, Jack, you know, to kind of to close out the show, barring us getting another caller. Big news of the day, you know, was Celtics-wise, was that the, you know, the obviously the trade deadline passed. Anthony Davis, still a Pelican. There seems to be some sort of Danny Ainge back channeling going on where he basically wrote Dell Demps an IOU with that when you open it, all the letters fall out. And if you ask him what order the letters were in, he's, oh, I don't know. I can't remember. So, you know, there's a weird little game being played in the media of, you know, it's not really clear what Danny Ainge's promised package would be, but it is very clear, you know, he's made it clear that Celtics are going to be aggressive, whatever that means, and come with a strong offer for Anthony Davis. Do you think that, kind of at this point, the question sort of has become, you know, should the Celtics be willing to put Jason Tatum in the deal? And if so, do they need to? What's kind of your feedback on that as we skip ahead a little bit, you know, to the summer?
Well, as far as will they, like, that's probably going to be a different answer than will they need to. You know, we've seen in the past, whether earned or not, Danny has gotten kind of the reputation for, you know, maybe lowballing some guys sometimes, some other, you know, rival GMs. And, you know, especially with most recently Paul George, where it seemed like he could have been had. Obviously that trade worked out for the Pacers just fine, but, you know, and even before then, Jimmy Butler, and, you know, every year the Celtics are, you know, linked to whatever disgruntled superstar, free agent superstar, whatever it is. And, you know, in the present now with Anthony Davis, obviously we saw in the last week kind of in real time that the Lakers realized that their package probably wasn't as good or as full as they would have liked it to have been for Anthony Davis, with all the posturing going on both sides, you know, whether it be from Rich Paul, whether it be from Clutch Sports, whether it be from LeBron himself, whether it be from the media. You know, the conclusion was that the Lakers package was at least not worth giving the Celtics the time to call. And I think Dell Demps is working under the assumption that he's going to at least have Tatum on the, that Danny's going to at least have Tatum on the table. And I think that Danny should be working under that assumption as well. You know, cause even though we've seen a lot of these good players, you know, these superstar players get traded for maybe less than what we would have thought they would have been worth in the past, you know, to get a top, arguably top five, maybe top three guy in the league, you know, at I think age 26, maybe, that's going to cost a lot. And would I be willing to put Tatum in a deal? Like, would I, me personally, I think yes. Obviously, it all depends on the right deal. I know we've spoken a lot about how, you know, putting Marcus Smart in is probably a non-starter at this point, especially if you're going to give up Tatum as well, because you need that kind of player. And even though his salary kind of makes, you know, facilitates a deal even more, it would just be, you know, so tough to part with him. I was actually asked earlier today, like, what my ideal Anthony Davis trade would be, and I came up with basically this is not necessarily realistic. I'll preface with that, but it was Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and then as many picks as they want, and as many kind of, you know, Yabo Tice, you know, Rob Williams, maybe even, you know, I know the wristband might be upset with me because of that, but Rob Williams, you know, I just hesitate so much to give up Marcus Smart. And I hesitate to give up both of Jalen and Jason in a package.
And I think, you know, and with, well, you know, the kind of the bright side, at least the way I see it, is that, you know, it seems like the window might have swung open a little bit on Terry coming back with a lot of these other teams sort of finding point guards. He may not get quite the lucrative offer that he may have gotten if, you know, Orlando and the Phoenix sort of didn't have their point guard issues addressed. So, you know, who knows? They might be able to work out some sort of deal, a three-team trade where whatever team that wants to sign Terry can be part of the Anthony Davis deal to sort of absorb at least some of that salary to prevent Marcus Smart from being one of the guys that has to go out. Because that's really the problem with the trade, is that Marcus Smart's the only guy who really makes like a strong middling salary on this team. So him or Gordon Hayward or Al Horford the deal.
I have a question about that, actually, since you are our resident cap guy. So if the Celtics now, obviously with getting rid of Jabari Bird today, would they be able to then sign a guy to some sort of, you know, $12 million or however many dollar contract to be able to kind of facilitate a deal in the summer, kind of maybe, you know, have a little wink wink with Dell Demp, say, you know, oh, do you want Wayne Ellington? Or do you want Markieff? No. Well, obviously they don't want Markieff Morris, but you know what I mean.
So they can create salary right now. It's not $12 million. That's not like a big number. I think it's something like $3 million or something like that. But that's kind of what, you know, Ryan Bertadone's been advocating for. You know, on Twitter, has been you know kind of signing a guy to a 2-year deal with that money. You know, with the second year fully non-guaranteed, you know, someone like Wayne Ellington, to create more of the salary, you know what I'm saying? Yabu is another person who, you know, makes bigger salary than a lot of the other Celtics guys. So, you know, also very movable in the deal. So, you know, I would be on the lookout for that, for the Celtics to sign somebody to a pretty big $3 million offer with more money on the back end, fully non-guaranteed, but just to, you know, sort of put in the deal if they need to, you know, sort of in case they need it, you know, if in case they can kind of keep Marcus Smart or one of these other guys, you know, prevent a guy from being just a casualty of the dollar figures. We do have one last caller called in right under the wire, so I want to throw to 530. 530, you're on with us. Hello? Oh, I think we lost. We lost 530.
Maybe not.
So, all right. So, well, just to sort of circle back to that in the Anthony Davis, you know, talks. I think that the main thing is going to be, well, one of the main challenges is going to be salary. You know, especially if you want to leave out one of Jason or Jalen, and you know, especially if you want to leave out Smart. You know, I'm not really sure what the trade package would be. I think Jason Tatum is probably going to need to be in it. Sort of my own personal feelings on this a little bit, you know, I might immediately get, you know, I reserve the right to totally retract this and go back on it the second the the Celtics, you know, he has an awesome postseason, but I do think that Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart sort of represent a skill set that sort of jives better with being a lower option on a championship team. So, you know,
yeah,
if you get someone like Anthony Davis and you're pairing them with, you know, Kyrie Irving, that's a lot of usage going on the court. And I think that, you know, Marcus Smart, sort of the way that he saved the Celtics season by coming into the starting lineup, is a good example of why, you know, what a lower usage guy who kind of, you know, keeps things moving can do for a team like that. And that's kind of why I think Marcus Smart is absolutely necessary to keep. Not necessarily because he's a better player than any of the other players, although there is also that, personally, I believe. But just because, you know, his skill set fits so much better. He doesn't need the ball. He does defend. He is so switchable. He is so strong. You know, he now can hit spot-up threes. And Jaylen, you know, sort of has a similar thing where he does that. He's just hyper-athletic, can switch across multiple positions, you know, is big and physical enough to sort of get to the line and sort of, you know, force his way through things. So I really appreciate that of it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And another guy that I'm actually going to throw in there, and, you know, this wouldn't be for trade purposes, but this is kind of for my own personal, is Marcus Morris. I think he's kind of – and, it's, you know, it's another thing that the Celtics have to think about in the offseason, you know, with Terry Rozier, with any potential Anthony Davis trade, is do they want to bring back Marcus Morris? And, you know, with the way he's been playing this year, you know, obviously he struggled tonight. I think he was 1 of 5 from three. He hit that one near the end. Is it worth, you know, trying to dump some salary to maybe give Marcus Morris a better contract, maybe letting Terry Rozier go in restricted free agency, or matching a low offer on him, you know, to try to save up some money to bring Marcus Morris back? Cause he has kind of been that low usage guy. That's just, you know, like with Marcus Smart, he's hit his spot up threes. He hasn't, you know, subverted the offense. Like, you know, we, or not me, but some people got mad at, you know, last year, and it's another guy that if you have a Kyrie Irving, if you have an Anthony Davis, it's just a guy that can come in, he'll get some points off the bench, or if you need to slide him into the starting lineup, you know, he came in, you know, the same day as Marcus, and Marcus Smart, that is, and you know, we went on a good run. So it's just another decision, you know, that Danny Ainge has to make with regards to salary, with regards to roster moves, with regards to trades, et cetera.
Yeah. And it's going to be very interesting to sort of, see what happens. I really do still think, I guess what makes sort of, you know, sort of pivot a little bit to the buyout market and, you know, who the Celtics might be bringing in. It is just sort of hard to project who Danny Ainge is going to target because the Celtics are kind of a complete team with the exception of, you know, maybe they can afford to be a little bit stronger rebounding, but that's less of a problem when Baines is healthy. And really just, you know, finding someone who can grift free throws besides Kyrie. And he really doesn't do it that often. You know, Kyrie kind of prefers the funky, you know, high difficulty finishes. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, and, you know, some names that have been floated around have been like Markieff Morris, obviously, because of his connection with Marcus. You know, guys like Robin Lopez, guys like, I can't even think off the top of my head, Greg Monroe, if he gets away from the Nets, you know, bring Greg Moose back. But like you said, I think the problem now is kind of getting, you know, this team ready for the playoffs and getting them kind of ready to face the realities of maybe being, you know, on the road in round two, things like that, you know, and I don't know. That's, you know, that's really not much to say else than that.
That's pretty much it, you know. And speaking of that being pretty much it, that's pretty much it for us here at the Boston Celtics postgame show. Once again, your final score for this evening was 129 for the Evil Empire Los Angeles Lakers. The Boston Celtics coming up valiantly short. 128. Once again, this episode was sponsored by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a Northeast landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, located at 113 Salem Street. It's more than Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. I've been your host tonight, Sam Sheehan. Hopefully that this, you know, worked out some therapy for those of you who needed it like I did. My co-host, Jack Michael, here with you. We'll be back for the Clippers game, not us specifically, but the show. So stick in there, and we will, you know, kind of check in with you guys later on that night. And hang in there. You know, it's going to get better from here on out.